the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my full-time job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast.
Josh and Stacia Haraldson are the husband and wife co-hosts of the Our First Drink podcast. Their show features conversations with interesting couples who range from social media superstars and business owners to other creatives and world travelers. Every episode gives you a behind-the-scenes look into where the couples were in their lives when they met and how their relationship has supported their success. Beyond the podcast, Stacia is a CPA who's been working on finding her own creative niche, while Josh has been making time for photography for years as an Instagram-suggested user. They are both unabashed cat enthusiasts with a special affinity for their own little man, Basil. So welcome to the show tonight, guys.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
That's a great intro.
Yeah, that was awesome. I like
that. Well, thank you. So tell us a little bit about where you are both at now and kind of how you got to where you are.
Yeah, so as you mentioned in that great interview, my wife and I just started a podcast, Our First Drink, that has been a really fun creative project for us. And it's been something we've been working on, almost a little over a year now, because it was right around my birthday last year that we had chatted about the idea and had talked about it. And then we've really been, in production mode for the last couple of months. So it's been fun because we're still in the early bits of the project. We're in that phase where we're learning a lot about working together and what we want the show to be and, you know, making those early mistakes and having those early successes, which is a great place to be. And then beyond that, yeah, like you mentioned, I've been, taking pictures for a long time and documenting, my life both personally, but also then, I guess, more publicly through Instagram and things like that. And it's been a fun, I think it's been fun to keep growing that part of me and keep sharing that part of me over the last few years. And it's been really fun now seeing that transition over into the podcast where it's something that we're also, we're both working on. And it's not just my thing, but it's both of our thing. And that's been really, I think, for me, the most fun of the last few months.
Yeah, and we're both kind of balancing the podcast with kind of more traditional 9-to-5 jobs. So it's been definitely an interesting balance, kind of trying to figure out how to make time for the creative pursuits we have, but also, keep our careers, kind of center for us. And so it's definitely been a balance, but we're getting there, I'd say.
Yeah, so for you especially, Stacia, because you're a CPA, which means I would imagine that you're really busy this time of year with tax season. Is that true?
Yes, this is like my crazy time. So, yeah, it's definitely been an interesting time to launch this thing.
Yeah,
so.
Perfect. If there's one thing that yeah. we have, it's perfect timing with launching a podcast. Because as you two know, it doesn't take any time whatsoever. Producing an episode is super easy. Booking all the guests. You basically just talk for however long the podcast is. Maybe add on like 15 minutes.
Yeah, there's very little work involved in this.
Certainly that's been fun for both of us.
Yeah, it's definitely been a unique experience so far, I would say.
Yeah, so you guys both work full-time jobs. Stacia, you're a CPA, and Josh, I believe you work in marketing. Mm-hmm. And then you also have this creative project, the Our First Drink podcast, and then Josh, your photography. So why do you feel like it's so important to not only, you know, go to work and work really hard from 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever those hours happen to be that you fill, but then also to come home and work more? I know sometimes I think I'm just crazy because I have so many projects going in addition to a full-time job. Why do you think it's worth it, or why do you think it's important?
Well, I think for me, it's just something that I would just do anyway. Like it's almost this thing that you're compelled to do. Like I always talk about, if you know, people have hobbies or creative pursuits or want to start a project. I mean, the big question I would always ask for them in terms of like, should you spend time on it, is this something that you would do even if nobody mm-hmm. paid attention to it? Because especially, you know, we're not like, you know, if you're trying to run a business and you're trying to make money, then you should probably do something that people are going to for sure pay you money on. I mean, that's a business plan. But if it's a hobby or it's a creative pursuit and something that you're getting enjoyment out of, it really ultimately, but even then, it still needs to have an element of this. But especially those creative pursuits, it just needs to be something that you would do because you're just compelled to do it, even if no one cared. And I think that's where when you have that desire to do something like I do with photography, and then, you know, with this podcast, of just was born out of Stacia and I just always just really loving talking about relationships and just things that we're passionate about as a couple. These are just things that we would to some degree do regardless. And so I think that even though you've got work going on, it's like, it's almost like the thing you're compelled to do. And, you just make time that like almost like makes you make time for it. But I think the other thing, like for Stacia, I think it's been really interesting to watch something we talked about, which is almost sort of like during your busy season, like where having this creative project has been this like almost like nice thing for you.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I was telling Josh the other day, actually, like this is the first year I've really allowed myself to kind of explore what creativity means to me. And for me, I was telling him that this like crazy time this year, actually, it was kind of like a bright spot for me. Just something I could look forward to. And my, you know, my job, I'm a CPA, it's very, things are very black and white, not a lot of room for creativity, as I always like to joke. If you're creative in accounting, you go to jail. So it's just one of those things. Like I kind of felt this need for kind of an outlet, but so for me, it just kind of became a bright spot for me in a kind of analytical black and white world that I was living in.
I could definitely see that being a plus, like something to look forward to at the end of a long day, or even just something that is so completely different from what you're doing all day long that you really are, you know, engaged and really want to do it.
Yep, exactly.
And I think that concept of looking forward to it's really important too, because it is like a vacation. It's like, that's like part of the fun of vacations is like it's fun to be there and to go on it, but it's also like that anticipation or like Christmas, you know. It's why like the anticipation for Christmas is almost more fun sometimes than like Christmas morning, especially as you get older in that season. And that's really what these hobbies are, these creative pursuits. It's like, it is that thing to look forward to, but that it's not like this big vacation, or it's not a holiday that only comes around so often. It's mm-hmm. this thing that you get to look forward to every single day. And I think that's what's really, you know, beyond this thing that you love to do, it's like, that's almost the other mm-hmm. half of the push to want to do it and to want to make time.
Yeah, I think that's part of what makes creative work so good, is that it's still work. Like sometimes you can take a really long vacation and at the end of it, you just feel like a total slug. You're like, I didn't do anything. I wasn't productive. And like, even if the break was nice and refreshing, there's something really great about having that creative outlet where you're like, yeah, this is work. I still need to put forth effort, and I see accomplishments and successes come out of that. And it's a really different kind of way to relax, but in a way it is sort of relaxing.
It yeah. is. And like, I mean, we talk about this all the time too. Like so many of our tasks and our jobs these days are, especially if you do something on the internet, or like for you, you're in Stacia's and spreadsheets all the time. It's like, you don't really produce mm-hmm. anything tangible a lot of times, or even if you do produce tangible things, it's not your own. And I think for me, a lot of the creative stuff, like if you're somebody like that, you're just sort of driven to make things, and whether it's writing or something physical or a photo, it's just awesome to have things to look back on that you made and that you did and that are your own. And especially when you're working for somebody else, to, you know, where you don't necessarily end up with that every day, it's just so nice to at the end of that time period to look back and say, like, this is something that we did together. It's something I did. This is something, you know, my wife did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talking about creativity is kind of like an extra little job or, you know, something that you guys have committed to doing together. What has it been like working together on such a big project? Has it impacted your guys' dynamic as a couple?
Yeah, I think we definitely say yes.
Yeah,
no, I mean,
for sure.
Yeah.
but in really good ways. I mean, like, there's definitely the traditional, oh yeah, we've got two opinions and, you know, we both have two strong opinions on something and maybe we disagree on whatever. Like that, those are some of those lessons too. But I think in general, it's just been, I think for, like, in general, it's been mostly and, like, far and away a really positive impact on our relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing we'd probably struggle, or I would say we struggled with the most is just, I mean, the timing of the launch, like we talked about before, this is just like not my freest time of the year. And so I think something we talk about a lot is just kind of like matching each other's excitement levels. And sometimes your mind is elsewhere because you're working on a project at work and one person might be a little more focused on the actual, like, making the project happen and the day-to-day kind of just getting it done, whereas one person might just not be able to. And I think we've discussed that quite a bit with each other, just kind of making sure we're both on the same page with that. And
yeah, I mean, that's something we've had to be so conscious of, especially me, because I, you know, I've been somebody who, you know, we talked about before we even started recording, I've been the one who's been thinking about all the technical aspects, and I'm the one who's doing the editing. So it's like I just, by nature of just the work that I'm doing, I've been spending more time on this. And especially with Stacia's busy season, it's just something she hasn't been able to, you know, it's like she can't, it's a one-person task too, even. Mm-hmm. So it's so easy mm-hmm. for you in this type of project to feel like that, like, you have more, not even like more at stake, but it's so easy to think that you have more excitement or you've got more involvement, when the reality is like, that's just the work that you've chosen to do. And that's the task that you have in front of you, or the time that's the role that you play. But, you know, the reality is working together, it's like Stacia and I have both made incredible contributions to this project. And sometimes you just got to remember, as the person who is in the season where you're maybe just doing more, or maybe your task is just more work, that has nothing to do with the person's excitement level or the person's investment.
Yeah, I mean, like, one thing we kind of talked about with just talking about how our dynamic has just changed throughout this is we kind of thought it was cool to see how we both kind of had been forced out of our comfort zones through this project. And sometimes you don't get to see your spouse outside their comfort zone, like, together doing something that's outside both your comfort zones. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's definitely added, like, a whole another layer of, like, conversation we have as to things we've learned about ourselves just by doing this. So it's been kind of, like, fun to reminisce on just how the past year has been.
Yeah, it's just been interesting to see each other in different situations than we normally would. I mean, one of the things we've talked about on our show a lot, and I don't remember who was it that, no, because it was you who came up with this. We were talking about it, but you were the one who ultimately came up with this idea. Is Stacia. Sorry, I'm looking at Stacia and pointing at her for all our podcast listeners who are watching this at home. But no, it's one of the things Stacia pointed out, and this is, I think, probably, like, one of the most insightful things that's been said on our show, something that Stacia said, was that it's like we so often get, like, we give the best of ourselves at work.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who we, you know, supposedly and ostensibly, like, want to spend the most time with and we care the most about doesn't actually get to see the best versions of ourselves. And the things that make you really good at your job, or the things that make you really talented, and the really fun thing about working on this project together is we've been able to see in different ways these things. I mean, some of the ideas and the insights that Stacia's had creatively on our show have just been amazing and super impactful, and are really come from the way that she thinks about people and relationships. And I know there are things when she tells me stories about her job and things she's doing there that I know she's making an impact, but I don't really get to see the conversation that leads to that outcome all the time. And so for us to be working on this project together and to see her thought process and to see some of her talents that I know are there, but to actually get to see them in action, I think for me that's probably been the most fun part about this whole project that we've worked on together.
Yeah, it's definitely been a good way to just really get hands-on experience seeing the other person's skills. And like you said, things you don't normally get to see at home But mm-hmm. yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I like what you said about, you know, not always getting to see the best part of your spouse. I know my husband and I work in completely different industries. And I know, Ashley, you and your husband do too.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not something you see them out in their element, like taking charge and, you know, kind of developing their expertise and all that kind of thing. So it would be really neat to work on a project like what you guys are doing and be able to see, you know, you, Josh, tackle all of the technical aspects of podcasting, and Stacia being able to, like, you know, these questions are going to be what really brings out this couple's interest in each other and those kinds of things. So it's a great tag team to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's good to have those like shared creative projects. Like, I've never really thought about it in that light before, but like Abby said, my husband and I work in completely different industries. I'm a writer, which he does not care about at all. He doesn't like words or reading or anything. And he's a woodworker, but he's sort of like an artisan woodworker. He's like really good and specialized and can build completely anything. It's amazing. And so we have like this shared overlap interest in like real estate and homes and like house building and home decor and stuff like that, where it's like, I had never thought about it until you phrased it that way just now, but it's like, oh, that is sort of where we have like those creative conversations, because that's our overlap. That's where we both care about the same things. Otherwise, you know, I could talk to him about writing something all day and he'd be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Like when you're kind of talking about that, I kind of saw that overlap when you talked about your writing and his woodworking, and then, like you said, the creative kind of the homes. And then I would just think even the building something, mm-hmm. you know, on a level of just creating something.
Yeah. So, and you guys, in addition to being a creative couple yourself, you interview a lot of couples who are both creative. So do you get a lot of insights from them about, I don't know, what makes things work really well as a creative couples, or anything that they do to really keep their creativity strong with each other?
Oh man, yeah, we've learned so much from all the couples that we've had on the show so far. It's been, I think that's just been the coolest thing about doing this. And I mean, I think that's just the cool thing about podcasting in general, if you almost take an aside, is that like you get to have these deep conversations. And as the host, it's great because you get to meet these people and be the one who's having the conversation. But even just as a listener, that's why I love podcasts so much. And that's where, I mean, I think for Stacia and I, this just ended up being something that just had to be a podcast. The more we talked about it, is that chance to learn from people in just this really insightful way. It's like you'd never just sit down and have a 45-minute deep conversation with somebody. I mean, I think, didn't even say like the other day, it's like we almost have conversations with people that like we might not even have with our friends. Sometimes, where you really like dig mm-hmm. deep into your relationship and go to some of those places. And I think, so just as like that aside, that's been a really cool part to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think probably one of the biggest things then from those conversations that we've learned is just in doing things with intention, but intention around their marriage and around the life that they want. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think like we kind of take away from a lot of them is that they've said, this is the life we want. This is how we want to live. These are the roles we want to follow. And how are we going to make that happen? And so it's basically doing everything with intention in order to make that realization happen. And that seems to be a common thread, I would say.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And the thing is, like, mm-hmm. the fun part that you know about doing our show is we're always looking for people that are couples that are doing interesting things together. That's the hook. And interesting can just be that they're just a cool couple. But we've also been really lucky to have some people that are doing some like really almost like extreme versions of things that people can relate to in their marriage. Like everybody can relate to traveling together. That's something everyone's done, whether it's for a weekend or a longer trip. But I don't think a lot of couples mm-hmm. have quit their jobs, like Adam and Lindsay Newbern, who was like episode 5, I think. Not a lot of people quit their jobs and started traveling around the world. But the thing to take away, that I really, really took away from them was that idea of intention, where they just said, look, we want to spend time with each other. You know, we want to have these adventures and have these experiences together. And so they said, like, right, where are we at in our lives? What is it going to take for us to do it? And then they just took a leap and did it. And it's like, not everybody has to take that extreme step of quitting your job, selling all, you know, selling your possessions, putting them in storage, renting out your house and moving around the world, becoming digital nomads. But But you can take that, I think you can take that thinking away and say, you know, what do we want to have in our life? You know, do we want to spend more time together, or do we want to make sure that we can have a certain experience together? And then what do we need to do within reason to make that happen? Or what do we need to be thinking about or be conscious of to say that this is really important to us in our marriage, and let's just make sure that nothing gets in the way of that. And that's something that doesn't matter, you know, whether you're quitting your job or just saying, like, we want to spend more time together and, you know, less time on our phones. Like, that's the same, it's the same lesson. And that just seems to be such a huge, I don't know, that's something I'm just really happy to keep being reminded of that every single time we talk to a couple.
Yeah, and I think, too, another big theme we've seen is anyone who's like, all these couples who start something, it seems like before they even get into it, they recognize, like, the complementary skill set they have.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's kind of one thing we've learned. It's like, and we've always struggled with this because we're very different and we have very different skill sets. And sometimes you would think that would clash, and it does clash. But I think for us, a lot of the thing we've learned from these couples is that if you can recognize that in each other, you can do so much more together than you can apart, because you have kind of, you fill in each other's gaps in a way. And so I think that's kind of what I've seen with a lot of them when they're even just starting out the projects. They have kind of taken inventory of their skills and been like, you know, these really work well together to kind of work towards this common goal. So,
yeah, I think for sure. I mean, you see a lot of people when they're younger, you know, when you're a kid or you're thinking about, you know, oh, who I'm going to be with. And you end up, I think a lot of people have dreams about somebody who's exactly like them, because that's all you sort of know. But I think the more you get older and you realize that it's like, you know, you need that balance. You like if Stacia and I were the same person, I think we would both be competing for attention. I don't think anything would ever get done around the house. We might not make a lot of progress around things. We might have some crazy adventures, but then we may not have a house to come home to. Whereas we, you know, with both of us, like Stacia and I, we pull ourselves towards a better middle, where we're both able to take that spirit of adventure and that spirit of being creative and pushing yourself, and combine that with the ability to actually like get things done and maintain friendships and be a good communicator. I mean, that's for me the thing I've learned so much from Stacia is how to listen and how to be a good communicator. I'm always working on getting better at that, but it's one of those skills that I saw that she has, and I'm like in awe of the fact that she is so good at this. And you see that same thing in these other couples where it's like, wow, it's never really a competition that someone's different. It's more of somebody going like, wow, like I'm so happy to have this person on my team. And what can we do? What can we do with this together? Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing. I think the third thing is like, and this is like the best one, is that at the end of the day, these like really great, interesting couples just really like each other. And I think anyone can think about this too. It's like, if you just think about like, everyone's got a couple in their life, and like, hopefully it's your own relationship is one of those, but everyone's got this couple in their life. I think that you look at it and you're just like, oh man, like they are so great together. Like they just have such a great like interaction and an energy, and the common thread among all those is that they just, at the end of the day, they like each other. Like people, I think, a lot of times, again, it's like you go back to like when you're a kid, you think about, you have all these ideas of love and romance, and mm-hmm. you know, love and romance are great because that's your history, that's your shared, those are your shared experiences. That's the fact that Stacia and I met in college, and we've got those shared memories, and now we've been together for 10 years, and we've got all that history together, and that's like the long term thing that we have that is super strong, and it's a foundation of our relationship. But like the day to day. Are we happy? Is the fact that we just generally like each other, and we like spending time together, we like being around each other, and that's something I've just seen in so many of these couples, where it's just like you just see that like the end of the day, all, projects aside, skills aside, whatever they're doing, they just flat out like each other.
Mm-hmm.
That is a wonderful observation to make. I know my husband and I just did our taxes this last weekend, and this is the first year that we have to pay in.
Oh, like, congrats.
At the end of the year. And I...
That was us too this year.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Sorry, Ashley. and it was mostly like just an accounting thing. Stacia, you would probably have caught this like, you know, 6-8 months ago. Not me. English degree. And I remember like we were on the way home in the car and I was like, you know, if I have to pay taxes to the federal government with anyone, I'm glad it's with you. Like, as easy as a moment as it was, I was like, yeah. You know...
Great though.
Neither of us are angry. Like, we're not in a bad place right now. Like, we just did this like really frustrating thing and we still want to go home and hang out together. So that's a really good point that the couples that you see that are the most successful are the ones who like just enjoy each other's company at the end of the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's so true. And that's kind of what we've seen. I mean, none of our couples has it all been perfect and easy everything went great and nothing ever challenged them, you know, like. But that's kind of, like you said, at the end of the day, when you look at that person and say, you know what, at the end of the day, I don't care that this happened because I am just, like, so happy to be sitting here paying taxes with you. Yeah. Like, or, that's a good thing, for sure.
Or even just, like, you know, like, any creative project you're working on, you're going to have things where you butt heads or just in life. Like, we just had a dumb fight, not about the podcast or anything, but just, like, we just had, like, a dumb fight where I just, like, it was a poor bit of communication on my part. It was definitely ultimately... me, I will admit to that. but it's like the thing that in that situation helps us move on from that, and for me to be humble in that ultimately and be okay with getting to that point where you're like, you know what, yes, this is like where we screwed up, is the fact that like you want to get back to that equilibrium. Like that's for me is my thing. It's like I just always want to get back to that equilibrium and that place where we like each other. I don't want to sit and stay in that uncomfortable place. I just want to get back to being happy. And it's like that comfortable groove in the couch where you're just like watching Netflix and you're just like relaxed. And it's just fun. You're telling jokes. Like you want to get back. I want to get back. That's all I want to ever do is get back to that place and be in that place. Even though I definitely, you know, I do my best sometimes to keep us out of there. But I try to pull us back. Too.
Yes. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of this conversation about like couples in general and creative couples is applicable to even just like creative collaborations in general. So like you and I on the podcast, Abby, like we like each other as people. We have complementary skill sets. Like you're way more organized than I am and more on top of things. And I'm like a little bit more out there.
I don't know if I go that far, but I do. I like, you know, how you said at the beginning of the podcast, Josh, how, you know, you've been doing, you know, quote unquote, the bulk of the work for our first drink because it's Stacia's busy season and because a lot of it can only be done by one person at a time. And you're okay with that because you recognize like this is the season we're in and this is what we're doing. We've committed to this project and we're going to do it. And this is the way it's going to get done. And I've loved that with Ashley and our relationship in this podcast. Like we live in different states. Before we started this podcast, we'd never met in person. But we've both been really good at the give and take and like, you know, I'm busy this weekend, but you're not. So maybe you edit this episode and the next 2 weekends, you know, I don't have a lot going on. So I'll take both of those. And we've just been really good about like, you know, passing that baton back and forth and making sure that our bases are covered and everyone kind of wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's huge. And it totally makes sense in any collaboration. You know, it's basically saying, like, we're doing this for the greater good. And like you said, sometimes you have to take on more. Sometimes you take on less, depending on the ebb and flow of your life. And it's, you know, recognizing that you guys are coming together on something and you both really like what you're doing. You like each other and you want to see the goal get further along than it ever could have with one of you by yourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, and that's almost even where it's like those three things we talked about with, like, intention, recognizing each other's skills and liking each other, they all like play together as well, because it's like you realize you've got this intention, those are almost like your goals, that's like the common idea, and then obviously the liking each other part is just saying that, hey, like generally we want, you know, we want to get along, we know that we want to be in a good place. But then it's like that third part's that really key part about recognizing and being really self-aware about both your skills but also and the other person's skills, but also like what that means. And that, like, knowing that, you know, I have the more technical skills, or I'm taking on the technical role, regardless of whether it's a skill or a role, and like really understanding what that means and being okay with that, and knowing that it's that time, and then also knowing that and being aware that, you know, Stacia's talents are so incredibly important and they're different and they play out differently, and she works differently even because of those talents, like precisely because of those talents, that means that Stacia works differently than I do, or maybe her schedule even is different, you know, where like I'm more apt to work on something later and just like push through. And Stacia's probably a little bit more structured. And those are both important because Stacia's skills might move things forward. And mine might, you know, end up being able to push through and create this one particular project. But it's like we both need to understand that about each other, that sometimes I just need to work on something and that sometimes I need to let Stacia handle the schedule. And that's like those are good things. And when we remember those complementary skills and what they mean, and then we combine that with that intention and they just sort of liking each other, it's like that's where your project just kind of smoothly moves forward, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your sweet spot right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
So talking about social media, so you've created this wonderful, awesome thing, and now you have to push it out into the world. Was it really hard to put your relationship out there in this podcast? Because you're talking about couples and their relationship. So obviously yours is going to come up from time to time or, you know, in every single episode. Was it really hard to make that decision or to, you know, have that talk about like what is, you know, what you can talk about and what you guys are never going to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something we talk about a lot. And I think it's something that we need to constantly have in check with each other. We're very conscious to talk to each other about anything that we might put out there that the other one might be uncomfortable with. We kind of, I would say, edit each other's output in a way to make sure we're honoring kind of our comfortability levels with it first.
Yeah, we certainly try to run things by each other.
Yeah.
Just be conscious of that, because even if it's something, like it's not even something where like I feel like I have to, like I certainly do not feel like I have to ask Stacia before I say anything about a relationship. Like that's not the case at all.
No, yeah.
But it is something, it's more like I want to. Like I mm-hmm. want to ask her because I want to make sure that anything that I say, or especially if it's something that's more personal or more insightful about us, I want to make sure that it's something that we're both okay with and that she's happy with, because like the last thing that social media should ever be is a point of contention for us. And this is something that mm-hmm. is like unnecessary to add in. Like I always go back to this idea, like when we got our cat Basil, like I had always grown up with a dog and I knew what it was like to have a dog. And it's like a dog versus a cat is just so much different work. You know, there's like if you've ever had both,
things.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And like, I did not understand this at all. I thought a cat was much more similar to a dog, where it's like, you know, for if you haven't had either, a dog is very much like a dog's like very much like a toddler, and like a cat's like a teenager. Where yes. like, you know, the cat will come and like you when they want food or when they want something, and the dog's like on you all the time. And I thought having our cat was gonna be more like this. And I was nervous that like a lot of people in my family are allergic to it. So like I was really nervous that this cat was going to be this unnecessary point of contention in our relationship. Like we were very happy. It was right before we were going to get married and like all these things. I was like, we're good. Like, I don't want to have this thing that we didn't really need. And that would come in and be something that I would even potentially be resentful about. Like I was scared about that. I didn't want it to be like that. And the way, you know, the way that it worked out is, if anybody has ever seen me talk about my cat or seen our cat's Instagram account, the fact that he even has an Instagram account, I mean, I love
exactly. That's very telling. Yeah.
I love this cat, and it's been such a wonderful addition to our lives. And I mean, Basil has been something that like I couldn't even think about not having in our life anymore. And it's been wonderful, and it turned out to not be a point of contention. And I don't know that social media's had quite the same impact worked its way into my heart that Basil has, but I think it can be this thing that is ultimately an additive in your life if it just, again, you go back to it not being a point of contention. And it's this whole thing that I was worried about with our cat, of it being this point of contention that was unnecessary. I'm glad it didn't turn out to be that way, but if it had, I mean, that would have been something that would have been challenging. And the great thing about social media is we have 100% control. Whereas the cat, I was scared because there's all these external factors that I had no control over that I was worried about. The thing with social media is we 100% have control over it being something that's either a positive or a negative. And I just think that's something we focus on all the time. So it really like drives that approach, I guess, of wanting to be each other's editor and wanting to make sure that we're saying things that we think are okay. I mean, I always think the line ultimately is that, like, we were kind of going back and forth, and this is like, if you were at a dinner party and somebody told you that, like, would you feel super uncomfortable and like want to get like out of there? And it's like, if anything we ever said about our relationship was like along those lines, like that's for sure, I would say, the line.
Yeah. And
I don't think we've gone there yet.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think like one thing I know I was really concerned about before we started this was I didn't want this to be like everyone come on and just try to give advice to people and say they've never done anything wrong. And if you're not like us, if you're not perfect, it's not going to work. And, you know, I wanted it to be like a real space for people to kind of share struggles. And it doesn't have to be 100% sunny, cheery, but, you know, ultimately we want something people to take something away from it, but we don't want to present it like we know everything and this is how you should live your life. Yeah. You know, it's more just, I'd love people to get out of it what they think they can apply to their own life. And I think it's hard when you put yourself out there because you have to kind of find that balance between, you know, this is how we are and things we want to share with you, but we don't, you know, when you're trying to make it seem like nothing goes wrong ever, it's a hard balance, but.
Mm-hmm. And that is different for every couple. I mean, there are some couples that are going to be totally okay with sharing a lot in very personal details. Mm-hmm. About their relationship and because it's just like in social media in general, you've got people that are totally, you know, that are super active on Twitter or on Instagram or on Snapchat, sharing everything about their lives. And you've got other people that would like wouldn't even think about posting anything ever. They would never even like want to share anything about their lives and they're very private. And so it's like one of those things where there's not really like one answer for everybody, but it comes back to that idea of it's just like constantly understanding and talking to each other, like, where do you want to be? What's important to you? What makes you feel comfortable? And and so, yeah, that's just, like, even just in doing our interviews, that's always, like, a tough, or it's a tricky balance to find of, like, mm-hmm. what is that line for people and what's that line for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys have a really good boundary there. Like, I like the way that you look at that with such a balanced point of view. And I really like what you said, Josh, about how we have to remember that we have 100% control over how we use our social media, because I think a lot of times we forget that and we sort of just get sucked into the vortex and let it take control over us when it should not have that control. So for you especially, Josh, with having built such an engaged following on Instagram, what tips do you have for other creators who are trying to actually use social media as a point of connection with people and not just a place to get more attention or more follows or more likes?
So I would say the biggest thing, honestly, is just don't be a jerk. That's like the biggest, that's like a great lesson in life, I think, to follow. Mm-hmm. But it really applies on social media and in terms of building a connection and being engaged with people is that, like, it's very easy on social media to have a very strong opinion and just, you know, lob things out there, throw things out there and just sort of, like, say, hey, here's my opinion, like, deal with it. Here's these things that I think you should care about. And it just comes across as not very friendly or it's off-putting sometimes. And I think just with everything I try to do, it comes from, A, that place of that I talked about earlier where, like, I just love taking pictures. At the end of the day, I just love taking pictures, and I would be doing this anyway. And I also then, on the flip side of that, like, I love sharing. I just like sharing the stories of what I'm thinking about. And so when I can combine those two and make it, it's a friendly point of someone's day, or it's something that maybe makes somebody think a little bit differently or lets them know a little bit more about my personality. Like, I'm always happy to try to go in that direction.
It's kind of a hard question, especially when you do social media so naturally, and it's just something that you do because you enjoy it. You don't really, you know, think like, well, this post is going to help my community feel better about themselves today. Like, that's not something that, like, genuine people really think a lot of the time.
You know, if you're approaching things from a business perspective, like I mentioned this earlier, you know, there's a very calculated way to do it. And I could give you all sorts of tips for here's how you drive engagement and here's how you, here's the times you should post. And this is a trick you can use to get people to comment or to follow. But the reality is that's not what I try to do. If I was doing a business account, I would at 100% probably do more of that because your goal is to get your goal is to ultimately get more of a result if it was that aspect. But from what I try to do on a personal level, and we still try, even with, I guess, you know, our first drink is not like necessarily a business per se, but it's something it's a project we want to be successful and to grow. But I think the difference in that and in what I do personally is that I just want to like, I just really try to share authentically the stories that I care about, that I care to share. I mean, Seisha and I both share, you know, at 100% say we share a very curated version of our life. I mean, we're not, because I don't want to share on Instagram every tiny moment. I don't feel the need to apologize for wanting to share the happy moments of my life or the positive things. Like I, for what I like to share, I'm not keeping a, for me, Instagram's not a place of, it's not like a tough journal. I mean, once in a while I might share something about that. That's a little more like, oh, like I think I had something the other day where I was talking about just being like really like burned out. But even then I try to bring it in more like a positive perspective of like, hey, I had this like burnout time that I didn't really talk about, but I'm just happy to get back to this more positive place. And so that's, I mean, ultimately, I think that's just my tip for building that engagement is just being nice and being yourself, and whatever that is, whatever you're comfortable sharing. If it's something for you that you're going to use as more of a, you know, real life outlet, that's great. You know, be that and be consistent with that, and you'll connect with people who want that particular social media to be that type of experience for them. And then the flip side for me, like I said, I use Instagram as a very curated version of how I see things, and how I see things is as I like to look for the happiness in moments, or the positive things, or in enjoying the experience that I had. And I love when people also find joy in that, and I'm happy to respond. And I always try to respond to comments, and because it still blows my mind that, I mean, even the fact that we're sitting here talking on this podcast is insane to me, that stuff comes from just putting out a picture and sharing your life, and just consistently sharing that in a way that I feel like is me ultimately. What do you think? What do you think as somebody who sees me post all the stuff, and as you started to share more, I think on Instagram, get more into it, but you've certainly seen me do this. Like you would always like joke about my Tumblr back in the day.
let's get the wife's perspective here.
Yeah, like I mean, what do you think? Like I'm almost having a hard time talking about it because it's one of those things that like I just do because I like doing it. But like, what do you think about
this? Yeah, no, I mean, I think that what you said was very true. I mean, I guess from my perspective, when we talk about this sometimes, is that your Instagram or whatever your social media platform you like, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, that's your space to do with it what you want. And I think, you know, a lot of people go in different directions on it. And I think that's what kind of makes it cool. And that's how you can kind of connect with people on different levels, is you find people who see things the same way you do. And you're kind of intrigued by how they do things and why they do things. And that's why people connect. And I think, I mean, for Josh, I mean, he's very, very good writer, very thoughtful and very aesthetically minded, very, very good taste in things. And I think that's a lot of what comes out in his Instagram, is a lot of what makes him who he is, you know. And I think people go down different avenues with it. But at the end of the day, like your page and your channels are yours, and they're whatever you want to show, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think there you go. That's like the great way to put it. This is what Stacia does with both of us, is that I will come in and I will have the very long-winded answer, and then Stacia just like, she'll just like listen, and then at the end come in with like the one sentence insight that's just perfect, and you're just like, okay, yes, there you go. That's
but
it.
I think, like you said, by being yourself, is that's how you connect with people who you're more inclined to connect with, because if you're showing something you don't isn't you, and you connect with other people that you truly don't connect with, but you pretend to connect with, that's not really a genuine connection. Yeah. But by just putting you out there, things that make you happy, sad, anything, I think that's when you get the kind of more genuine connections with people who see the world the same way you do.
And that's totally it, because it's like you said, it's like just be you, because ultimately, but then ultimately you have to understand what that means. So like if being you is that, you know, you just want to share what's important to you, you also have to know that it's okay, and be okay with maybe your account doesn't grow, maybe you don't get the same number that other people do, but that's okay. That is okay, because the people that do come through are people that are really quality connections in your life and are really like worthwhile having in your sphere of attention.
So talking about, you know, social media and being a creative person and, you know, continually putting yourself out there, you know, however it may be on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook even. I know we don't talk about Facebook a lot. It seems to be more of a brand sharing platform these days. But Stacia, you've really come into your own and found a creative project that you're passionate about with Our First Drink. I mean, being a CPA, I imagine you got an accounting degree or a finance degree of some sort. Like you said, doesn't leave a lot of room for creativity. So what prompted you to kind of join in this creative project? And have you noticed kind of any changes in other areas of your life because of doing this, because of starting something creative?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been huge in a lot of areas. And kind of what kind of got me into it was, I mean, Josh is like the man of 1,000 hobbies. And I was always like the girl of none. And my whole life was, I got an accounting degree and my whole kind of path was working towards this, that, I mean, CPA exam. It was all very structured. And I think what I did internally is I put myself in this box of, mm-hmm. you know, creative versus non-creative. Like if you're not doing XYZ, you're not creative. And if you're a CPA, you're not creative. And I think a lot of people do that where they kind of put themselves in a box of, you know, I'm not even going to let myself explore that because that's just not me. And I think kind of this year has been a really, really cool time for me because I basically said to myself, I'm not going to think of myself that way anymore. And I'm going to let myself kind of explore whatever I want to explore and kind of just figure out what I am passionate about outside of just trying to get more and more done on this path I was on. And I mean, for me, it's definitely, like I said, it's been kind of just like a cool area of my life that I got to look forward to. And also, just in terms of doing a podcast, what we've both learned about ourselves, I think, is just, you know, how you communicate and how you work. And I guess I've noticed my communication skills have definitely evolved. Just, I mean, you guys know, having to be in conversations with people you don't know, it's not something you do every day.
And then have to listen back to
that. And having to listen back to yourself talk, I mean, it's kind of like horrifying sometimes, but also it's been like a great learning tool in terms of like vocal cues I take.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You start to realize how many times you say, like, yeah. Yeah,
mine was know. Absolutely. Yep. If you listen back to the first couple episodes, I say absolutely and like draw it out for 3 or 4 seconds constantly.
Oh boy. Now that you say that.
Thanks.
I can hear that. That's cool. That's memorable. You got that call.
I say so all the time. So
yep.
Yeah. See, just like that. That's my placeholder word. So
yeah, but everyone has them. And like you guys listening back to yourselves, obviously you've like found those out, and like us too. Like there's so many things. And I say, you know, all the time, like I just said it there. So yeah, I mean, for me, it's been huge. And like I said, I guess the biggest thing for me is I just wanted to let myself out of my internal, like non-creative box I put myself in so many years ago. I just decided this, and I just, like, for me, it's just been kind of letting myself be free to do something different. And I think I've talked to a lot of people who kind of have that same feeling. They think if they're in a certain career field, if they're in a certain, you know, area of life, they don't think they can do that. It's like you almost have to give yourself permission to let yourself explore those things.
Yeah, gosh. I mean, that's so true. Like, I just for seeing with Stacia, like, in this project and the way she's changed, like, I have been so, like, I've just been, like, super proud of her because it's not like she wasn't this talented person or somebody who would, like, wasn't assertive or anything like that. But I can just even, like just even hearing some of her work stories and just seeing where it's, like, she has this idea, and instead of it, the story ending at the idea, it's, like, I've started to hear it more, like, going into, not only did I have this idea, but I also presented it, and I pushed it a little bit further. And that's something I think comes from doing these projects and realizing, like, I can just do this. And like you mentioned, getting rid of that limit in your head. And mm-hmm. I've seen that in you over these last few months. And that's just been super cool to see.
Yeah. And I think something to remember too, for me, that I always remember is creativity comes in all shapes, sizes, forms, and ways to do things. And it's not like you have to be X, Y, or Z things to be creative. You can do anything of creation or thinking differently or just kind of letting yourself think outside the box a little. It's all different forms, and it doesn't have to look a certain way, you know?
Yeah, that's something we talk a lot about here on the podcast, is like your creativity can look wildly different from somebody else's, but that doesn't mean that it's not valid, and that doesn't mean that it doesn't count somehow, or that you're not a real artist or a real creative. We really like talking with people about encouraging others to push out of those boxes and out of those limitations of what art really means, and just look at what it means to be creative for you wherever you're at in your life right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I would totally agree with that.
So at the end of each episode, we do a short book club where we always talk about books we've read lately or books that have inspired us as creatives. So what kind of books have you guys been reading lately, or have you ever read, that have inspired your creativity or just been plain fun to read?
Yeah, I mean, right now, we kind of talked about this. We're not quite in such a consumption mode. We're more of like in the output kind of mode. So that kind of has taken over. But I will say, and I know this is kind of a running joke on your show, but I did read Big Magic, and I really enjoyed it.
It's a good
book. It's really good. Yeah. And I mean, I think for me, it kind of hit home, because like, I'm not kidding when I say like, I did not really allow myself to be creative before. And it's definitely been, I felt like it was kind of talking to people at every level of, you know, creative pursuits. But for me, it was, as someone who's really, really new to the space and really new to the way of thinking, it was a really nice kind of introduction to the world of it. And it was kind of, for me, a huge part of me saying, you know what, like, I think a big part of what she says, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about just exploring curiosities. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really, really mm-hmm. good way to put it, because that's kind of what I have been starting to allow myself to do. Things that I just always wanted to learn, but just never allowed myself to. It's been really big for me. But yes, it's a very big book right now. So I know a lot of people are reading it. But
it is. But that doesn't mean it's a bad book. So we're glad people are reading it. And even like you said, if someone who's never, ever been creative picks up the book and realizes like, oh, you know, I can explore other things than what I do during my 9 to 5, then that's wonderful. And that was worth writing the book.
Well, pretty much the whole book is quotable. It's one of those things where you could underline and highlight something in every single paragraph, because it's just so like, it's so full of wisdom.
Yeah. Totally. That's how I felt. I would just kind of, something would strike me and I'd be like, I have had this thought, but I never thought about it further. And
yeah. Well, I like how you say it's for, you know, people who are just really exploring their creativity, or at least it worked for you as someone who's just newly exploring their creativity. Because I feel like I've been a creative person all of my life. I have always drawn. I have always written. I have always, you know, picked up a camera and taken photos, all of those kinds of things. But to me, my creativity was in a box, actually. We'll use that analogy, that I could only, you know, write about certain things. Like, some things were just off limits to me. And I've actually only made it through the first chapter, I think, of Big Magic. And it's the one all about, you know, fear and getting over fear. And I haven't gotten past that one, because there were always some topics that I just refused to write about because I was afraid of what would happen if I did. And I think it's been really good for me to read that and kind of like really park on that first chapter. So I'm interested to see what happens when I dive into the rest of the book. It may take me a year to read this one, guys.
That sounds like the Josh Harrelson timeline.
Yeah. But no, I think that's super interesting, because I always wonder at people who saw them, you know, have different levels of what they see themselves as a creative person, how they would relate to the same message. And I think that's the cool thing about it, is everyone kind of takes from it what helps them and kind of takes the value out of it for themselves. But
yeah, it's like the mark of a truly great book is like anybody can make it work for them no matter where they're at.
Yeah, definitely.
So I actually have two books.
Okay.
Even though I just got done talking about how much we haven't been reading, I actually have two books. And one of them, and I guarantee these are two books that have not been mentioned and probably will not get mentioned on the show again. So my two books, the first one is actually, because we've been very much in this mode of creating something, and we've got this other secret project that we've got in the works that is more of a business type of thing. We're gonna throw that out there now, so we like have to do it. Yes. But part of that is there is
accountability. Exactly. Yeah, accountability. Yeah, put it out there.
So it's like a low accountability, but it's a little bit. We're dipping our toe in the water. But I do think when you're thinking about starting something creative, because I mean, really, sort of what we're trying to do is creative. It is really helpful to sometimes have that framework and have, even just like with Big Magic, having this thing that can push you. And so the one book that I've been reading lately is called Will It Fly by Pat Flynn. And Pat Flynn's an awesome podcaster as well. He's got a great show called Smart Passive Income. he's a great interviewer, and this whole book is honestly it's about validating your idea. And what I like about it is that, and I think for anybody who's actually trying to, maybe you have like 3 or 4 creative projects and you want this to be something that is more something that can sustain an income or actually bring in and be more of a business, I would say this is a fantastic book for you to read, especially if you have multiple ideas, but even if you just have that one, or you're like, is this something that I could spend my time on? It's a great framework for going through and understanding, like, is this something, like, and actually, honestly, even a non-business, some of the earlier parts, just some of the framework that it walks you through in terms of asking yourself, is this something that, as a project, I'm okay with being in my life? Because there's a lot of projects. I mean, I would say the podcast is a great example. It's way more time-consuming than I even realized. And if I was going to be super honest with myself, I would have to ask, am I okay spending the editing time on this? Am I okay with this being a big project? And for me, the answer is absolutely. I mean, I've had a wonderful time doing it, and it's been something that's been well worth being a part of our lives. But just some of the framework early on in the book that walks you through how to maybe, or just some questions to ask yourself of saying, like, is this something that fits into my life? And then going beyond and how to really identify your audience and understand what they want. So if you want your creative pursuit to be more of a business, I would say Will It Fly by Pat Flynn. Fantastic book to check out. And then in a completely 180 direction, if you follow my Instagram at all, I love going on little adventures and sharing little, you know, when I love when I get a chance to share a little story about what I did or something that I noticed. And so I really, really enjoy reading books that are just like tiny little memoirs or even like adventure writing or writing more about experiences. And if you know Stacia and I, or if you're privy to some of our conversations, you would know our dream is to own a lake house. And there is this wonderful book that I actually found recently called A View of the Lake by Beryl Singleton Bissell, who her and her husband moved up. They were from the Twin Cities, and they moved up, and they bought this place on Lake Superior, I think 15 years ago or so. And she was a writer, and she still writes. She's still writing today, but she wrote this weekly column for, I think, one of the local papers up there. And so this book, A View of the Lake, is a collection of stories, and it's organized into spring, winter, fall, and summer. And it's just they're all just 2 or 3 page little short stories. They're basically blog posts, like these little blog, almost these little blog posts of different experiences and different thoughts and different times of her and her husband's experience up living on Lake Superior. So on two levels, I love it because it's this little insight into the stream that Stacia and I have and this place that we love. I mean, we got engaged up on Lake Superior, went our honeymoon up there. It's just like a very special place for us. So like I always love books like that where you read them and then you get to go to bed with that imagery in your head like you almost get to go and dream about these places that you love and you can really picture vividly. Like I love those. I love that kind of writing.
Well, have you heard of that one before, Ashley, being in the Twin Cities?
I haven't. No, I have read, now I can't even think of the name of it. There was a fiction book that takes place on Lake Superior that I read a couple of years ago that sort of, I don't know, it goes through a couple of different times. Like one of them is modern day and then there's one from like the 1800s or something. There's a bunch of interconnecting storylines. It kind of reminded me of that when you were describing it, but
we'll have to like track down the name and put it in the show notes. So
yeah, I will. It's just been a couple years since I read it. We'll put it in the show notes though, but no, both those books sound like they're totally right up my alley. Will It Fly? Because I have too many ideas and I take like half action on all of them and then none of them go anywhere because I don't take full action on anything. And then, yeah, A View of the Lake sounds just like, it sounds like a really good vacation read for me. Like if I'm sitting at a lake reading, like, yeah, that's what I want to be reading. I want to be reading about a lake.
Yeah, it would be a perfect vacation book.
Yeah, and I like that you mentioned that it was, not only is it a memoir, but it's arranged seasonally because I just finished a memoir that is also arranged by season called Roots and Sky. It's called Roots and Sky, A Journey Home in 4 Seasons by Christy Purifoy. This is the part where we never know how to pronounce people's names.
And we are really making
never
it.
Bother.
We could not just like read books by like Jane Doe and like John Smith. We had to go.
Yeah,
with the
definitely
ones
not. Yeah. So the memoir itself is really. It doesn't have much to do with creativity. She has a few lines about art and creativity at the end that I might read in a minute here. But for the most part, I just thought it was really beautiful writing. And if you enjoy memoirs, and there's a pretty strong faith theme in there, so you'd have to be okay with that. But if you enjoy memoirs and if you are looking for one of those books that sort of just inspires you to go write something because the words are so beautiful, I would highly recommend it for that. And then let me see what she said about art at the end. There's one thing she said that I was like, oh, that's really cool. I like that. Okay, here it is. She writes, "Whether we speak of poems or paintings or places, all art acknowledges an absence and dreams of something other, something more. Art is the material form of hope."
I love that.
That's
yeah.
Gorgeous.
That's awesome. You should put that in the show note too, so I can easily grab that. Yeah.
We will do that. Have you been reading anything good, Abby? Or not really?
Not really. I've been like indulging in a bunch of fiction lately.
Mm, good stuff, but I know what you mean. It's like hard to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah. I've just been reading, like rereading all of the Anne of Green Gables novels, which I don't know.
Oh, nice.
Those are like my absolute favorite growing up. Honestly, like that like takes me back to like when I like first discovered reading and like loving reading. It was the Anne of Green Gables all the way.
So I'm making Scott sit down and watch the movie with me later this evening.
Nice.
Gosh, I love the movie so much, too. I love that.
I haven't seen it in like 15 years, so.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
It's about time.
It should be fun.
Yeah, it's so good.
Are you also an Anne of Green Gables fan, Ashley?
Oh, no. No.
No? Period? Oh, they're too happy for you.
I think they're too happy, so I haven't read them. Yeah, I like my fiction books with a little bit of tragedy, so.
Okay. I actually have a running list of tragic fiction books that I have that I need to send to you.
Okay.
So
I will send them over.
Well, thank you so much, Josh and Stacia, for joining us this evening. We've had such a great time chatting with you and can't wait for everyone else to hear your words as well.
Thank you so much for having us. This is really fun.
Yeah, thank you. This was a lot of fun. It was fun being on the other side of the microphone.
Yeah.
Listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Krebs or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast, or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.